I don't know about you guys. I don't know if I want to go ice fishing with that guy or not. I don't know how everybody else is feeling, but he kind of scares me. I think I'll definitely be keeping an eye on him on my in my peripheral. Well, guys, a couple minutes ago was pretty hilarious. Mark, right before the service, said something like to someone like, yeah, Chris is preaching tonight. And I looked at him and I said, tonight? And he like literally almost peed his pants. So it was pretty great. Well, welcome to Explore Church. I'm glad that you're here. My name's Chris. I'm the associate pastor here, and I'm delighted to be able to guide us in the scriptures this evening. So pretty awesome. Guys, we are 2 weeks away from Christmas, and one thing that I love are letters to Santa, okay? So I picked out a couple kids' letters to Santa that I wanted to share with you guys. Here's this first one. This little boy says, Dear Santa, how are you? I'm good. Here's what I want for Christmas. http://amazon.com/GP product. I'm not sure if this boy understood that you can't like click that link or whatever, but so that's a very long URL. So I hope he got what he wanted. Okay, let's go to our second one here. So this one says, Dear Santa, there's only one thing that I want for Christmas, and I think probably a little girl here said, didn't get it for Christmas, so then she wants it for summer vacation too. That one thing is to bring Leonardo DiCaprio to my house because I think he's cute, and I would like to meet him. If you can do that, I would be so grateful. Thanks, Santa! I don't know about you guys, I would love to meet Leonardo as well one day, so we'll see. All right, what's our next one here? This one says, Dear Santa Claus, I want a plasma flat screen TV. I've been nice all year. I just want to spend time with my family. And I remember that you're lactose intolerant, so I got you soy milk and chocolate chip cookies. I will always believe in you, and I put my name neat. Your friend, Nora. I don't know if that was Nora Tard or not, but I love the way that they phonetically spell lactose intolerant. All right, let's go to our next one here. Dear Santa and helpers, I've been very good this year. I'm expecting a little sister. I don't want her. Mommy says her will be fun. I heard girls stink. I will trade you my sister when she comes from the stork for an elf. I want a race car and a garage set for Christmas. There will be sugar cookies and burritos waiting for you. Thank you, Santa. I love Craig, okay? I love Craig. What a guy, okay? This one's from Townsend. He says, this year I've been good. You should come because I haven't hit my sister with my four-wheeler. I would like a TV because I'm always bored in my room. I'd like a Nerf gun because my cousin is getting one from my family. Is Rudolph real? How do your reindeer fly? Man, the bar is set high, right? Not hitting your sister with your four-wheeler. I thought that was pretty great. All right, here's our last one, okay? Dear Santa, I've been trying to be a responsible person. I hope I would get what I always wanted. The thing I want most is a dog. 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 I know I haven't been taking care of my Giga doll, but it's not real, and a dog would be. This is the best. Santa, I would even trade my one and only mom for a dog. I know that a dog is a big responsibility, but I've been bugging my dad since I was 3, and I'm tired of it. Oh, my gosh. I would trade my one and only mom for a dog. Well, guys, I'll be honest, I'm always a sucker for letters from kids, or, you know, there's that TV show, Kids Say the Darndest Things. It's just, even my kids say the darndest things. My daughter is the one-liner queen, for sure. But laughter is so good for the body, and it's so good for the soul. Proverbs 17:22 says, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Now, we aren't sure exactly when Proverbs was written. Most people guesstimate that it was probably 2,500 to 3,000 years ago. That's hard to fathom, right? To think about something like the Proverbs being written so long ago. But what's amazing is that this incredible wisdom that's in the Bible, that's 2,500 years old, that all of a sudden we can come across an article that says, new discovery by science. Laughter is good for the body, you know. You guys see those things all the time, and you're like, well, it actually has been around 3,000 years ago. Someone said that. It's been there. So check out a few things that science or research says has discovered about laughter. The first thing is that it says that science has revealed that laughter actually boosts the immune system. Okay. Right now, it's crazy. There's been so much sickness passing around Missoula, from colds to flus to COVID. All that kind of stuff has been circulating, sinus infections, all this kind of stuff. So next time you're sick or your child is sick, say, hey, son, I need you to take your vitamins. Take a nice glass of orange juice, and here's a good dad joke to get you back on your feet, you know? So laughter, something amazing about laughter boosts the immune system. I think that's fascinating. Second thing that we learn from science is that laughter reduces stress hormones. So when you're stressed out, when you're worried, laughter can actually be a huge cure for stress. Some of these percentages here, it says that laughter can make cortisol levels drop by 39%, and that adrenaline can drop by 70%. The feel-good endorphins can increase by 29 cents, and growth hormones can skyrocket by 87%. The other day, I was meeting with a guy at a coffee shop, and he said something that was just so funny, and I got that deep laugh where I'm like grabbing my stomach, and it's all cramping, and I'm panting for air, you know, and stuff like that. It was amazing. If you've read Proverbs 31 before, you know there's this description of a godly woman, okay, and there's all these characteristics. Do you remember what one of the characteristics is of a godly woman? It says that she can laugh at the days to come. Laughter is such a gift to offset stress and worry and tension. Third one here is that laughter can be even equated with exercise. So science shows that if you laughed 100 to 200 times a day, that it can be equivalent to going for a jog for 10 minutes or for rowing for 10 minutes. So the next time someone asks you if you run, just say, no, but I sure do laugh a lot. Laughter is such an incredible gift. I think it's so awesome that we're still learning so much about the human body, and that it's so incredible that science and technology are advancing so much that we can actually even do these kind of studies that, like, somebody tells someone a joke and they laugh, and all of a sudden they, like, track the brain and all the different stuff that's kind of emerging. It's amazing, but what's incredible about that is all of these things are revealing that God did a good job. That when God created us, that he did a good job. And I love that here we are, thousands of years later, and we're still discovering how amazing God is and the way that he designed and created this planet, how everything is intertwined and works together in the complexity of our bodies. It's fascinating. It's amazing. I'm going to be honest with you guys that I'm a bit of a nut. What I mean by that is sometimes I am a 5-year-old trapped in a 40-year-old body, okay? And I know some of you guys, and I know some of you have 5-year-olds trapped in your body. I can say that for sure. So that's very true of myself, but I'm going to be honest that I didn't really learn how to laugh until a couple years ago. And I feel like I'm still learning how to laugh. And the reason I say that is that I definitely had, and I still have, a tendency to take myself too seriously. And to take life too seriously. I get too stressed out about stuff. I focus too much on all the things I have to do. You know what I mean? Sometimes I get too focused on the challenge that's in front of me rather than seeing the opportunity that's on the other side. One of my biggest challenges is that I'm so goal-oriented, I'm so summit-driven, I love to climb peaks and stuff like that, and I'm so focused on the getting to the top that I oftentimes forget to enjoy the journey and the process from getting from here to there. And I waste so much of my life, so much of the joy that could be mine, because I'm so focused on either the problem or the future destination rather than the space that's in between. Guess what? Life is filled with a lot of the in-between space. So it's Christmas time, right? And when the angels appeared to the shepherds on the night when Jesus was born, they said to the shepherds, I bring you great news that will bring great joy to all people. Great news that will bring great joy to all people. So Christmas time is a time when we can be reminded that we have much to be joyful about. We have an abundance of things to be joyful about. And tonight, as we light the joy candle, as we lean into this theme of joy, I want to talk about what it means to enjoy the journey. What does it look like to learn how to not just think about the joy that's ours at Christmas time, but what does it look like to live in joy and to enjoy life every single day of the year? Let's pray and we're going to dive in. God, thank you so much for time to get together, to be able to laugh. This week, just when I had the opportunity to just grab my stomach and just get into a deep laugh, it was so good. God, laughter is such a gift, and I thank you for your wisdom that was that was in the design from the very beginning. When you shaped and you wired and you had us in your mind to create us in your image, that part of that design was laughter. And that you shaped and wired our brains so that when we laugh, all these amazing things kind of release. So pray, God, that we as a community would learn to laugh more, to find joy in the journey every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, the word enjoy means to take pleasure or to take delight in something. Okay? Let's compare this to the word endure. So if to enjoy something is to take pleasure or delight in it, to endure something means to suffer something painful or difficult patiently. Or it can also mean to remain in existence. So when you think about your life, would you classify yourself as an enjoyer or an endurer? Are you an enjoyer or are you an endurer? When you wake up in the morning and put your feet on the floor, are you thinking about, man, I'm excited to see what this day holds. I'm excited for being able to love on my kids or to go to work today. I'm excited about getting together with a friend later today or doing this or diving into the scriptures and engaging God. Or are you engaging in an enjoyment perception and approach to life? Or do you think, oh, I can't wait till I can take my feet back off the ground and lay back down in this bed at the end of the day? There's a difference between enjoying and enduring. So hear me out here. I know that life is hard. I know that in this room, many of us have decaying bodies. We have hurt knees, hurt backs, hurt necks, all kinds of different issues that come up. Some of us have very stressful jobs and we have stressful bank accounts. We have tension with our kids or tension with our parents or tension with our spouse or tension with coworkers or tension with family members. Many of us in this room have shattered dreams or we have anxiety and worry about what the future is going to hold. I have many of those things myself. But I want to encourage myself and I want to encourage all of us that perhaps there's a better way to live life. Perhaps there's a better way than just enduring these things, these hardships, these difficulties, these disappointments. Maybe there's a different way to navigate and live everyday life where I'm not just trying to endure. It's amazing that we have the hope of heaven, that one day all of this will wash away. But I want to make something out of this space. I don't want to just endure the now for the hope of tomorrow. That helps. I mean, hope really is the driver that allows us to push through challenge and difficulty and hardship. But I think there's a better way to live. Isn't it amazing that some of the poorest people on this planet are some of the most joyful? Is that amazing? Isn't it intriguing that some of the most miserable people on this planet could buy or get whatever they want whenever they want it? That's interesting. So maybe there's something there. Maybe there's something that, some kind of secret there that needs to be unlocked. So the bulk of tonight, I want to share with you guys 6 tips for enjoying the journey. And I'll actually give you a 30-day money-back guarantee. If you apply all 6 of these things, I promise you that on January 10th or 11th, wherever that 30-day period ends, that your life's going to be better. I guarantee it. There's no way that it wouldn't be. The very first tip for enjoying the journey is that we need to find joy in God. This time of year, we just sang the word, joy to the world, the Lord has come. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. What an amazing song that this time of year we think about this joy. But like I said a couple minutes ago, what if we could enjoy and find joy every day in God, not just at this time of year? Guys, to find joy in God means that we rejoice in His character. Rejoice in His character. I want to encourage you to close your eyes for just a second. I want you to try to let this sink in. To rejoice in His character, to reflect on the fact that God is loving. Just think about that for a second. Let that soak in, that you serve a loving God who loved the world so much that He gave His one and only Son. Think about the fact that God is good. Not only is God good, but He's kind. God is just. The Lord is so faithful. He's faithful to you. He's faithful to His word. He's faithful to His people. He's faithful to His promises. God is so merciful. He doesn't give us what we deserve, but instead He is abounding in grace, that He's gracious. He gives us what we don't deserve. God is generous towards us. He's so generous. He's so powerful. There's nothing beyond His capability. And God is full of hope. He's trustworthy. I don't have to question whether I can trust God. And He's wise and He's dependable. Guys, when we rejoice in God's character, joy emerges. When we take moments throughout our day to reflect on the goodness of God, joy begins to stir up within us because we know that we're in good hands. The Scriptures actually command us to find joy in God because they know, the Scriptures know, that that's the way that life is designed and it's for our good. Psalm 37 verse 4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord." 1 Chronicles 16:10 says, "Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice." Psalm 32, verse 11 says, "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart." In Psalm 40, verse 16, it says, "But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say continually, 'Great is the Lord.'" So to find joy in God, we need to find joy in His character. We need to realize that the Scripture commands us to find joy in God, but also the way that we find joy in God is that we worship and we thank Him for all the amazing things that He does for us. One of the ways that we can find joy in God for sure is to remember and to find joy in our salvation. To be amazed that this baby boy was born to a virgin mother and who lived a sinless life and he died a brutal criminal's death on a brutal cross and that he rose victorious from the grave and that he offers you and me forgiveness and eternal life. That's amazing. When we take time to reflect on the wonder and the amazingness of salvation, joy emerges as a result. Paul says it in Romans 1 that the gospel is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. If we want to enjoy the journey of life, first and foremost, we need to find joy in God. Second tip for finding joy or enjoying the journey is to find joy in the Scriptures. Guys, Scripture is bottled water for a parched soul. I don't know if you've experienced it before, where maybe it's a hot day, you were working, you were on a long hike, or you were out on a boat and you ran out of water, or you're in the ocean, whatever it may be, and all of a sudden you get that sip of water, and all of a sudden you savor the taste and the sensation of nourishment from water like you never had before. It's the same way for the Scriptures. The Scriptures are such a gift and such a source of joy. Psalm 12, verse 6 says, "And the words of the Lord are flawless, like silver purified in a crucible, like gold refined 7 times. This morning I was reading and came across Jeremiah 15, 16, and it says, "When your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name, Lord God Almighty. Psalm 119:103 says, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Have you guys ever experienced the incredible peace and joy that God's word brings? Perhaps you've been in a time in your life where you were stressed out about some things and you read Matthew 6. It's the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus talks about how, you know, if God clothes the lilies of the fields like this, how much more will he clothe you? How much more will he take care of you? So don't worry about tomorrow. Today has enough troubles on its own. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. I've been in times of deep stress, and I've read that, and I was like, oh, I needed to hear this today. Perhaps you've been crippled with grief or sorrow when you came across 2 Corinthians chapter 1 that talks about how God is the God of all comfort and how he comforts us so that we can comfort others. And all of a sudden, in the midst of the heaviness of the weight of disappointment or sadness or grief or sorrow or mourning, all of a sudden your spirit is lifted because you're reminded that God is a God who is a comforter and that he has a purpose for our pain. Perhaps you were faced with a really difficult decision and you didn't know what to do, and you just happened to stumble across James chapter 1 that says, if anyone lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. And all of a sudden, in the midst of the stress of the decision, you just said, God, I need some wisdom. Or maybe you were in the hardship of a trial, and at the beginning of James it says, consider it pure joy, my friends, when you face trials of various kinds, because it produces perseverance. And all of a sudden, your spirit was lifted from the ground because of the words of Scripture. Perhaps you've been short-tempered toward your spouse or a kid or a coworker or something, and you stumbled across 1 Corinthians 13, and it says, love is patient, and love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it's not proud, it's not rude, it's not self-seeking, it keeps no record of wrongs, but it always rejoices in the truth. And all of a sudden, your perspective is shifted, and you're like, ah. Oh. It's like you were rescued from this spiral of negativity, and the word brought you out of it. Scripture is such an incredible gift. Guys, to find joy in the Scriptures, we have to spend time in the Scriptures. You won't experience the joy of the Scriptures if you're not in them. We have to spend time in the Scriptures. Third tip for finding joy in the journey is to find joy in obedience. Find joy in God. Find joy in the word, but we have to find joy in obedience. James chapter 1, I just referenced that in some other areas, but James chapter 1 says, don't be merely hearers of the word, be doers of the word. Guys, if we find joy in the Scriptures, but we don't apply them and obey them in our life, then the joy is just going to quickly wither away. It's not going to stay. I want you to check out what Jesus says in John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 9 through 11. He says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I want to pause there for a second. Jesus is making the point that if we love him, we will follow him. That if we love Jesus, that it will overflow in obedience to his commands. Not out of an obligation, but out of an overflow of a genuine love for God. But check out verse 11 here. He makes this kind of comment, and then in verse 11 says, I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is funny, but I call this J-Thagoram theorem. It's A squared plus B squared equals C squared, okay? Love plus obedience equals joy. It's a horrible formula, but I think it's funny. John was sitting at Jesus' feet when he taught this, and he got it. So later, when he writes 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, he says, this is love for God, to obey his commands. And his commands are not burdensome. That was such a huge discovery in my life when I read that, just point blank. His commands are not burdensome. At this point in my life, I felt like the commands of God were such a burden. Oh, I got to do this, not do that, that kind of stuff. And all of a sudden, it opened up to find, I can find joy in obedience because, again, I'm aligning my life with the way that God designed humanity and life to work. I was listening to a podcast earlier this week, and there was a quote from Samuel Cathy in there. Samuel is the founder of Chick-fil-A. Many of us know that Chick-fil-A is closed on Sundays, and he got a lot of pushback, and Chick-fil-A still gets a lot of pushback on that. But this quote from Samuel Cathy says, "Obeying God may be tough, but it's not an option." I was just like, wow. How many of you guys treat obedience as optional? I'll raise my hand. A lot of times I consider obedience optional. I know it's for my good, but do I really have to do it? Guys, if we want to experience the fullness of joy that Jesus speaks of here in John 15, we need to find joy in obedience, and that obedience needs to overflow from love. Sometimes we just have to dig deep and do it because we got to trust that it's for our good, even when we're not like feeling it. It bears its fruit, sometimes in the short term, but oftentimes in the long term. Number four, we need to find joy in community. Guys, God created us for community. He created us to experience joy when we spend time with others, when we share experiences, when we support and we care for one another, when we laugh together, when we find joy in the journey of life together. We need, in order to do that, we need to live life in community and not in isolation. Because the Bible is full of instructions on how to live in healthy, life-giving community. It's full of it. There's so many different instructions that are so good. One of them is as simple as to be kind. If you want to live in life-giving community and experience joy, be a kind person. Be hospitable. Consider someone else's interests above your own. Serve someone. Forgive someone. Don't be envy. Don't be greedy. Love someone. Respect them. Be humble. Encourage others. Consider others. All of these things. We talked about this before, but it takes a lot of intentionality to find life-giving community. Pastor Mark talks about this all the time. It takes time, talk, and trust. Life-giving community, it takes time and it takes intentionality and consistency and pushing ourselves out of our comfort zone to initiate relationships and initiate times to spend time with one another and to hang out. And it takes talk, and it takes talk beyond what the weather is and who won the World Cup game. I love World Cup. But we need to talk about the deeper things in life because that's when we really connect in our souls and we start to really develop trust. And that's when joy can kind of emerge. Isn't it amazing how a baby or a child's smile can light up your day? Isn't it amazing? Look at some of these kids. I mean, everybody in the room, your face like loosens up, and sometimes a big old smile comes across your face. Before I move on from this tip on finding joy in community, I want to encourage everyone to smile more. I wish I had time to go into all the science and research that talks about the health and the mental and the emotional benefits that come from smiling. All of us know that happy people smile more, right? And generally, happy people have life-giving relationships because they're enjoyable to be around. And sometimes just learning to smile, all of a sudden, people enjoy being around you because smiling's fun. And it's the way God designed our body, as we've already talked about. All these chemicals are stirring around and stuff like that. And we're like, this is good. This is good. We were designed and made for joy. We weren't designed and made for pain and grumpiness. I get there for sure. Leo Wildrich, check this out, says, that's why we often feel happier around children. They smile more. On average, children smile 400 times a day, while happy people typically smile 40 to 50 times. But the average of us only does so 20. I don't need to break down that research for you, but I think it's fascinating. And I've been trying to increase my smilometer. You know, I just made that word up too. I'm really good at making up words. And this is why I highly recommend getting good at dad jokes. So if we want to enjoy the journey, we got to find joy in community. Number five, we need to find joy in experiences. Guys, I believe firmly that God created the world for our enjoyment. The mountains, the rivers, the lakes, the ocean, the beautiful trees that right now have, you know, no leaves, and all of a sudden they get cloaked in snow, but then the spring comes and these buds emerge and flowers come out and we get the smell of spring emerges, and then we've got the deep, life-giving green of the leaves that come out, and then they change colors, and we have these beautiful sunsets and rainbows, and guys, we live in Montana. Holy cow. Man, it is good here. We need to find joy in experiences. I want to tell you a quick story. A couple years ago, someone had challenged me to take a day of solitude. Day of solitude is kind of a spiritual discipline. It's something that I really need to do more in my life, but I was like, man, I should do that. That sounds good. And thankfully, my wife knew someone in town that had kind of a vacation rental, and it happened to be not rented that day. So they said, yeah, Chris can come over here. And so day of solitude is basically just a day where you say, hey, it's me and it's God, and that's it. And so I stepped into this space, and yeah, I brought a couple books. I brought my Bible. I brought a journal. But I nestled down into this chair, and I had my stack of books, and I was just like, wait. Again, I had to turn off my productivity mindset that I needed to make this day productive. And I just sat there, and I just paid attention to how my toes felt. And then I just kind of paid attention to what the sensation was kind of through my legs and up to my core and out my arms to my fingertips. And then I just started to listen to what it felt like, or to pay attention to what it felt like to breathe air into my lungs and to feel my lungs expand and then to exhale and feel them contract. I did this for a little while, and then after a little bit I was like, I kind of feel like a cup of coffee. So I got up and I took a step, and then I just stopped. And I felt the weight of my body pushing against the floor, and I paid attention to the resistance of the floor against my foot. And then I took another step. And then I grabbed this coffee mug, guys, and it was a little pottery ceramic mug, and it had this little bump on the handle. And I just sat there. I mean, I probably looked like Mr. Bean or something, anybody that knows that show. But I'm just sitting there. You know, sometimes wish there was a video of this. But I'm just sitting there, and I'm feeling this bump with my fingertip. And then I think I just went like this, and I just, like, stared at this. And I was like, I was just amazed that I could pick up this sensation in my finger. On this day in particular, and it sticks in my mind, like I learned to feel again. All of these things that are so easy, pop up out of the chair, walk over to the Keurig, put it in there, push it down, okay, I'm going to go over here, and I'm going to pack a lunch, get this ready, all this kind of stuff. Many of us live our days like that, right? It is so good to take a day where you just pay attention to the simple things. I think we can cultivate a habit where we go about our everyday life, and we pay attention to the simple things, and we find joy in experiences. I want to encourage you to not work your life away. I get it, we've got bills to pay and stuff like that, but take time to enjoy life. Take time to enjoy a walk, a hike, to go camping, to go on a mission trip, to listen to some beautiful music, and just stand in wonder that strings and other different things, you know, skin, whatever it may be, can come together to create music in such a beautiful way. Things that we often so easily take for granted. I don't have time to read Psalm 150 like I wanted to, but it ends and it talks about praise him with the harp, praise him with the tambourine, and at the end he says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Number six, if we want to find joy in the journey, is we need to find joy in purpose. Paul says in Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's handiwork. We were created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. If you're sitting here listening, or if you're listening to this later online, God created you for a purpose. Every single one of you are unique. You have a unique story, a unique background, unique talents, unique gifts, unique abilities. If you have the Holy Spirit in your life, you have unique spiritual gifts to serve a particular purpose within God's people. And I promise you, you will find joy when you lock into His purpose and you experience the joy of using your unique gift to impact someone else for eternity. I'm not sure if there's a better joy than that. For your life to be impactful to someone else's life for eternity is a wonderful thing. Worship team, you guys can come on up. So friends, Christmas is a season of joy. It's a season to remember the long-promised Messiah who for thousands of years was promised that one day this man is going to come and he's going to restore all things. Guys, I want us to learn to enjoy life year-round, not just to endure it. And I believe firmly that if we seek to find joy in God, find joy in the Scriptures, find joy in obedience, find joy in community, find joy in experiences, and find joy in purpose, again, I gave you a 30-day money-back guarantee. If you focus on those things over these next 30 days, I promise you, promise you, your life will be better. I promise you. Even if you put a couple of those into practice, your life's going to be better. You're going to be full of more joy. You're going to be full of more peace. I would like to quickly say that joy is not found in comparison. It's not found in negative thinking. It's not found in greed. It's not found in envy. It's not found in fear. Joy isn't found in selfishness. It's not found in worry. It's not found in sin. And it's not found in worldly living. I can't remember all the details, but a number of years ago, my youngest daughter was doing something at our house, and all of a sudden she goes, "That's so satisfying." And Courtney and I just kind of looked at each other and smiled and chuckled, and "That's so satisfying" has become a very common phrase in our household. We now use it in jest and in humor all the time and stuff like that. But also, even this morning, I was in the kitchen and all of a sudden I heard my son up in the big room and very genuinely he says, "That's so satisfying." Explore Church, if you want, I don't know what your paradigm is, but I want to encourage all of us to consider that life can be so satisfying. It can be so satisfying when we align with the way that God designed life to be lived. But here's the catch. Life will never be satisfying without Christ in your life. Never. Psalm 16, verse 11 says, "You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." You make known to me the path of life. Jesus in John 14, 6 says, "I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So if you want to know the path of life, the path to everlasting, eternal joy, it is through the person of Jesus Christ. The baby boy that was born in a manger to a virgin mother, to a poor father, who was a refugee. He got driven out of his homeland. He lived a sinless life. He eventually was arrested and lived a brutal death on a brutal cross for you and for I. And then he rose again victoriously to offer us forgiveness and new life so that we could experience eternal joy with him forever. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for the gift of joy. Thank you that you designed and wired our bodies for joy. The very beginning, you designed us to live and enjoy the beauty of creation and the beauty of community with you and with one another. God, and unfortunately, something stole that from us, and sometimes we can fall prey to just enduring life rather than enjoying it. As we are in this in-between space between now and then, when we have the hope of heaven, when every tear is wiped away and there is no more pain and no more tragedy and no more death and no more hardship and no more stress, God, help us to learn how to enjoy the journey and the in-between. Be glorified in this community as we seek to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.